that birth and so of his coming. So if you would, if you found your place there in Luke chapter number 1, if you would, let's stand together and we'll read if you can. We'll stand together, please, and we'll read a few verses. And we're going to begin in verse number 39. And Mary's cousin Elizabeth is expecting John the Baptist. And Mary, the Bible says in verse 39, arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then verse 46, it begins what many refer to as Mary's song. And it begins, and she, Mary goes on to say this, the Bible goes on to say this about Mary and the song that she proclaimed. It said, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers to Abraham. And to his seed forever. Heavenly Father, be with these few moments together. We thank you for them. We love you. Thank you for your goodness to us and your love and sending Jesus to be our Savior. And we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. It's interesting, as I began to look at this, and one way that we can express the joy of Christmas, we just did. We sang songs. And how many of you young people, we've got our young people with us, our junior church folks, how many of you like to sing? Do you like to sing songs? Do you like to sing? How many of you remember when you were a kid singing the B-I-B-L-E like we sang this morning? And Jesus Loves the Little Children. Wonderful songs. I'm glad we teach our children to sing. And this is considered a song of Mary. We're going to look at one other song this morning as well. But if there's anything that the Christmas story kind of emphasizes to us, is that Christ's presence brings joy, but it even brings joy in the night season, at nighttime, in the dark times. Have you ever noticed how many of our Christmas carols remind us that the first Christmas songs were sung in the night? Silent night, O holy night, it came upon a midnight clear, away in a manger, O little town of Bethlehem. And God's word gives us ways that we can express the joy of Christmas even after Christmas and even in the dark seasons of life, even in the night seasons of life. I remember as a child, and maybe you remember this as well, if you've ever been a child, if you've ever had children, is that children don't really look forward to bedtime. I mean, unless they're just out and you're carrying them to bed and they're already asleep. Remember, as a child, and I have children that kind of follow this same motto, and when bedtime rolls around, they begin moving a little bit slower than they've been moving than they'd move the rest of the day, whether it's brushing their teeth or getting ready for bed. And it seems like children want to do anything and everything to prolong the inevitable of bedtime, right? It's changed, though, as an adult, and we look forward to bedtime, whether it's from working a job, working long hours, we're tired, and sometimes kids just flat wear you out, right? and make us ready, more ready for bedtime. But there's another form of night that it's not a physical night, but that can bring dread. We're not talking about when the sun goes down. It's a form of night when heavy burdens settle in. It's a dark season of the soul sets in. And Christmas reminds us that God bestows some of his most lavish gifts in the night. Jesus was born, historians tell us, sometime at night between dusk and dawn. And his birth gives reason to experience the joy of Christmas all year around. And if we remember, Jesus came because we were in darkness. The Bible tells us God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that's a dark time. While we were yet sinners, though, Christ died for us. The light of the world, Jesus, came into the world at night. While Bethlehem slept and shepherds watched their flocks, Mary gave birth to the one who came to bring us light and joy. I don't know where you're at this morning. Often, you might be going through a dark time, a trial, relationships have caved in, and medical tests have come back with bad news. Circumstances are out of your control and are closing in. Or where you once lived in good circumstances, so to speak, now there's struggle and there's trial and there's darkness. Christmas is all about being able to express the joy of Jesus, even in the dark times, even in trials. So I believe that from some of these songs that we find in the Christmas story, there are some things that we can sing about, even in the dark, even in the night seasons in life. The first thing I think we can praise God for, is unending faithfulness. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? Aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of God at all times? From the very first words of praise from this young lady named Mary to the songs throughout Scripture, we find that the faithfulness of God is a reason to sing. It's a reason to rejoice at all times, at any times, whether things are going well or whether we're going through a difficulty. It's always good to remember that God is faithful. It's always good to praise God for his unending faithfulness. Mary, this first Christmas carol, we could call it that, was sung months before Jesus was born. And it was sung by the first person to know of his arrival. And we see the perspective of her song. The most interesting, the most touching thing about this song or aspect of this song is its spontaneity. Mary wasn't singing words that she'd memorized from a hymnal. She wasn't just repeating phrases without understanding what they meant. Her song was an overflow of a heart that was rejoicing in the faithfulness of God, even in difficult circumstances. The news that Mary had just been given just a short time before this could have been very troubling, could have been very unsettling, but these words sprang from the overflow of a heart that was rejoicing in a faithful God. They sprang from the depths of his soul. This could have been a very overwhelming time for Mary, a very stressful time for this young lady and this young couple. But Mary turned her worry into worship, and Mary's worship here was biblical. Someone once said that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. But then he went on to say, that's not completely true. He said, worry will get you what you don't want. Worry will get you despair. Worry will get you depression. And worry will get you despondency. Mary chose to worship rather than to worry. I'm thankful we've looked at it throughout this year and referenced it several times. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I'm thankful for this verse. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's good news, right? The temptations are coming, but we understand that. But I'm thankful that in the midst of a verse that begins, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, I'm thankful for the next four words. It says, but God is faithful. But God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But, the Bible says, will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That reminds us, and that's not even in the Christmas story, that there's reason to praise God even in the temptations. Why? Because he's faithful. Because he's faithful to us. Because he never leaves us or forsakes us. The content of Mary's song, it echoes a lot of what Hannah sang about in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. They have many similarities. And that reminds us that this young lady, this young woman, Mary, she had a heart that was full of Scripture. She knew Scripture so well that it freely flowed from her lips, even in difficult times. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." And then it tells us the overflow of that. "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." This young woman, Mary, she knew Scripture so well. She knew Scripture so well that it freely flowed from her heart. Our culture today tells us that this wouldn't have been a very joyful time. Our culture tells, for Mary, our culture tells us that joy is found only in favorable circumstances. It's ingrained into our thinking, this belief that we can only be happy when life goes well, whether it's a raise at work or a good score on a test or a compliment or achieving our goals or accomplishing our lists. All of these things to the world define happiness. And while achievement and accomplishment and encouragement and success are wonderful gifts from God, and we should thank Him for them, none of these provide a solid foundation for lasting joy. Because what happens when those things are gone? What happens when life is not going well? What happens if we lose our job? What happens if we fail a test? What happens when we disappoint those we love or those we love disappoint us? What happens when we miss every one of the goals that we set? What happens then? Christmas teaches us, Mary's song teaches us, that true joy is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of a faithful God. It's the presence of a faithful God. She had just heard, and she was just about to experience a great deal of misunderstanding. In fact, in some ways, Mary's life actually was in the midst of some turmoil. Even Simeon in Luke chapter 2 prophesied to Mary that a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. From Jesus' birth until Mary watched his crucifixion, Mary knew a depth of grief that removed any notion that joy is rooted in a painless life. Let me say that again. Let me read that again. From the time Jesus was born until Mary watched him be crucified, she knew a depth of grief. She knew for a fact that any notion She knew a depth of grief that removed any notion in her mind that joy is rooted in a painless life. She understood that joy didn't depend on circumstances. It didn't depend on favorable things happening in her life. And because Mary's joy wasn't based in her circumstances, she was able to praise God in the midst of her circumstances. Because Mary's joy wasn't based on circumstances, she was able to praise God in the midst of any circumstance. And Mary understood the wonderful significance of the presence of God in her life. In fact, Mary was so sure of the presence of God and the importance of God that He is the focus of her song. Mary elaborated on the attributes of God in her song. She spoke of His might. She spoke of His personal involvement in her life. She spoke of His holiness and of His mercy. She pointed out the mighty works and His kindness to His own people. And she concluded with His faithfulness to keep His promise. He had not forgotten the promises that He made. That's a wonderful encouragement for you and I today, that God hasn't forgotten you and I. God's promises are sure. God's promises are true. Mary's joy was firmly rooted in the faithfulness of God. She knew Him personally. She rejoiced in Him personally. She knew Him personally. She rejoiced in Him publicly. Sometimes we stagger in hopelessness because our minds, in our minds, we forget who God is. We think that he has forsaken us or forgotten us in spite of his clear promises in Hebrews chapter 13 of never leaving us nor forsaking us. Sometimes we're prone to doubt his care for us in spite of the promise that he gives, that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. We often might get the idea that, or think that we're beyond the reach of his comfort, despite the claim in 2 Corinthians that he is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Sometimes in our despair, what we believe about God is simply not what is true. We forget who God is and what his desire is for our lives. Paul reminds us to rejoice in the Lord always, in any circumstances, at any time. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks. In Philippians chapter 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He begins and he ends because this is what ought to characterize the life and the living of a child of God. It's that of true joy in any circumstance. Just think about what Jesus did for us. If we truly sat and thought about it, that's the reason often in my life and in the lives of others, I've seen that many times poor decisions are made. It's because we make decisions in the heat of the moment. And often we make decisions without truly thinking. And when Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, we have reason to rejoice in the Lord always. I wrote down just a few of these things about what Jesus is for us. And this is just the beginning. It's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. Reasons that we can rejoice is because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11 that he is our deliverer. Isaiah chapter 47 says he is our Redeemer. The Bible tells us he is our Savior. John 15 tells us he is our friend. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hebrews 13 tells us he's our Shepherd. Psalms 48 tells us he's a guide. I'm thankful for Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6 it says he's wonderful. He is a Counselor. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 says. He's a blessed hope, Titus chapter 2. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the sustainer. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our source of truth. And we could go on and on and on and on. We can rejoice in the faithfulness, the unending faithfulness. Regardless of how dark the night is, Jesus never changes. He is constant. He is faithful. His faithfulness is unending. We may not be able to see in those dark times. I'm reminded of the apostles, the disciples on the sea when the storm came up. They couldn't see the end of the storm. It was dark all around them. And in those times, it's easy to forget about God's presence and his providence in our life. We must never forget that he is faithful. Is faithful. Every one of us in this room who've been saved, who've received Jesus Christ as Savior, would have to say that the Lord has done great things in us, just as Mary did. We could simply just think of the change that he made in our life, the blessings that we've enjoyed, the benefits that are yours as a child of God, the glory that awaits us one day when we're reunited with him in heaven. We have been abundantly blessed, and like Mary, we have reason to praise the Lord. Months before that first Christmas night, Mary chose joy because she based her belief in God and his unending faithfulness. She based her belief in God's faithfulness to his promises. And rather than dwelling on troubling aspects of her situation that could have caused grief, that could have caused discouragement, that could have caused her to despair, she meditated on God's faithfulness. She meditated on God's word, and she chose to rejoice in him. We can praise God because he's faithful. And then if we look in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, we find another reason to rejoice. We can rejoice in God's glory. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It had been interesting to have been there that night. The Bible says in verse 9, because And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This second of the Christmas carols was sung by the angels themselves. It would have been interesting to have been there. I'm reminded of, as I was preparing for this, of some of the Christmas carols that we sing. And when I came to this one, I was reminded of, Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And just like Mary's song, focusing completely on the faithfulness of God, the angel's song centered on the Savior. It centered on the Savior. And then the announcement ended by a full angelic choir magnifying the Lord. It must have been amazing, incredible for the angels to watch the Creator, to watch Jesus humble himself and come to earth. After all, they knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew he was the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels observed the events of Christmas from a different point of view, you see, because the angels, they lived to bring glory to God. They lived to praise God. They do it continually around his throne. So when they announced the Christmas story, it was second nature to them to rejoice in God's glory. When we remember this, the Christmas story, we often think only of the manger and the shepherds and the characters of that special night. But when the angels announced this story, they saw a bigger picture. They rejoiced in how that night was part of God's eternal purpose of redemption, his plan to send a Savior for sinful men just like you and I. The angel's message tells us that remembering God's eternal purpose through our lives brings joy. Remembering what he's done in us and through us ought to bring joy. One of the most familiar promises in Scripture is in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In God's plan, in God's sovereignty, he's able to take our trials and our troubling circumstances in our lives and use them to conform us to the image of Christ, verse 29 of Romans chapter 8 tells us. Of course, it is difficult. It's not easy in the middle of a trial to see how this works. Our minds are pre-programmed to believe that joy only comes from comfort and pleasure. And in moments of pain, we forget to trust God's sovereignty. The angel's song teaches us that we can rejoice knowing that God is faithful. We can rejoice in God's glory, and we can rejoice knowing that God's glory will be made manifest through his purpose in our life. The angel song reminds us that trusting that God has a bigger purpose than we can see or understand, and that brings great joy even in the night seasons. We can rejoice in his glory. We can rejoice in his faithfulness. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is a faithful God. I'm so thankful for his faithfulness in my life. There have been dark times where it seemed like there was no way to go. There was no clear direction. There was no end in sight. But yet God proved himself over and over again to be faithful. And I'm thankful for how God works in our life and how he desires to make us more and more like his son as we seek him in his word, as we seek a relationship with him. And we can live lives that glorify him as the angels challenge us to. We can rejoice in his glory. And then we can rejoice, we can praise God for his salvation, for his salvation. We read the angel's point of view in Luke chapter 2 of this song. In verse 15 it says, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I'm reminded of the song, Angels from the Realm of Glory. It says, angels from the realm of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. And the second verse says, shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flock by night. God with us is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. And the chorus goes, says, come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. These shepherds were privileged to be witnesses of Christ after his birth. And with their own eyes, they came and they saw the baby Jesus, the Messiah, lying in a manger, just as the angels had proclaimed, just as they had sang about his glory. And they'd heard the angels' announcement and that this was indeed God in the flesh. And the Bible says when they had seen it, they made known abroad. This night had been no doubt the most exciting night of their lives. They experienced an emotional roller coaster from fear to excitement to surprise to amazement. But when the night was over, the Bible says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Other than Mary and Joseph, the shepherds were the first to hear the good news that Christ the Savior was born. They were the first to see him right there in front of their eyes. And in their rejoicing, they couldn't help but tell somebody. They couldn't help but tell somebody about what they had seen. They couldn't help but share the glad tidings of Jesus' birth. These rejoicing shepherds teach us that when our trial comes to an end, because our trials all have end dates, our trials are all temporary, we have the opportunity to share with others what God did for us through that trial. His faithfulness, his grace, his love, and his mercy. And as we experience the faithfulness of God when all seems dark and we learn to rejoice in his glory, we find that God truly does reward the faithfulness, reward faith with joy. Hours early, the shepherds had left their sheep on a hillside and their journey to the manger began in faith and ended with praise. It's the same with us. Our journey to God begins in faith as we receive Jesus Christ. We receive that gift of salvation. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful gift we were given in salvation. Our journey begins in faith, and it will end in perfect praise when we enter his presence rejoicing. But we don't have to wait to start rejoicing. All through our journey, all through our lives, as we walk by faith, as we seek him in his word, as we follow his word, we can rejoice in his salvation. Even as the shepherds made known abroad that which was told them concerning this child, we can testify of our personal relationship and our personal experience of God's sustaining grace. There's no joy really quite like sharing the good news of the gospel. It's quite like sharing of the goodness of God with others. I love the Christmas season. I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for the songs that we sing at Christmas. Christmas is a time for rejoicing. Even in trial, even in darkness, we can express the joy of the Lord as we trust his faithfulness, as we rejoice in his glory, and we share his goodness with others. Christmas night delivered the greatest gift from God to the world. And those who were first privileged to discover this great gift received it with joy. Their songs remind us that even in the night, especially in the night season, we can express the joy of Christmas. Oh, we ought to continue it. It shouldn't end with December 25th, and it shouldn't end on December 26th that we no longer sing and praise his name. He is worthy. The Bible tells us that all through eternity we'll be worshiping and praising him for his goodness and his grace and his love to us. Christmas reminds us that our Heavenly Father understands those night seasons, those dark times in your life and mine. And during those times, he uses those often to draw us close to him, to draw us back to him, to draw us near him. And he reminds us in those times of his faithfulness, of his goodness, of his love, of the joy that he gives. But he gives us reason even to praise him, even in the night season, even in the dark. What a wonderful promise that we're given from the birth of Christ, that he cares about us. He cares about those difficult times, those troubling nights in our life. What a wonderful God we serve. He is faithful. He is worthy of all of our praise and all of our glory. And oh, we ought to be thankful for his salvation. We ought to shout it from the rooftops. We ought to tell everyone we know about the goodness of our Savior. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know the night season, the dark time that you're going through. But I assure you that our Heavenly Father does. I assure you that He does. And He's ever faithful. His faithfulness is unending. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to know peace through that season. I don't know where you're at today, but maybe we ought to just thank Him. Maybe we ought to just spend time alone this morning, maybe at this altar. The altar is a good place to spend time with the Lord and thank Him for His goodness, thank Him for His faithfulness. But every one of us, if we've received Jesus Christ as Savior, we can be thankful today and every day for the salvation that He purchased with such a great price. And it began that night. It began that night as a young lady sang of the goodness and the faithfulness of God, as angels announced the glory that the Creator, that God had come in the flesh, and that as shepherds responded by sharing it with everyone that they could. I don't know where you're at this morning, where this message finds you, but perhaps we need to just spend time with the Lord. Maybe you're in a dark season, you're in a dark time. Maybe you just need to come and thank Him for His faithfulness. I don't know where you're at, but may we respond this morning as the Lord leads us and speaks to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these few moments. We thank You for Your faithfulness, and we have much to be thankful for. We have much that we can sing Your praises for. You are certainly a faithful God. You are certainly a loving Heavenly Father. Thank You for Your goodness to us. And I don't ever doubt the fact that there are some that are going through a dark time, a trial, or maybe there's no end in sight, but Lord, we know that You know the beginning from the end, and You're faithful, and You're loving, and You care, and You offer grace and peace that are like none other. May we run to You in those times. We thank and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. As brother